Tonight I want to bring out of God's word what is hell. What is hell? Thus far, we've been speaking on one thought, the first message of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every message has been on. Sunday morning we spoke on all the trouble God's gone to get men to seek him, not to seek what he can do for them. For if you're seeking God, get him to do something for you, you'll just have to go to hell. You seek the Lord for what he is, for the beauty that's in him, for the glory of God that's in his face. The only difference between an unsaved man and a saved man is one is blinded to the glory of Christ, and the other has seen the glory of God, of Jesus Christ. You youngsters who chew gum and scribble notes while I preach and have to pick up after every service, why don't you mothers and fathers love your children? Why don't you teach them that salvation's not some little decision they made? It's when the light shines in the darkness, God gives us the knowledge of the glory of Christ in Jesus Christ. That's what makes Christians. Say, that's a miracle. Yes, a Christian is a miracle. He's a product of God's triumphant conquering grace. He's a trophy of the power of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not his own. He's been bought with a price, and he sets out to glorify God. What is hell? What is the character of the place where men and women experience the rigor, the strictness, the severity, the horrors, the awful penalty of God against men who live in his word in a state of rebellion against his Christ, to whom he's given authority over all things in heaven and in earth, world without end? The doctrine of H-E-L-L hell is just the doctrine of the horrors of, the severity of, the certainty of judgment that's bound to fall every human being who comes to the judgment and has to try to deal himself Almighty God's holy law. I don't want to deal with it myself. I want somebody to stand between me and the holy law of God. I want a mediator to stand there and say, I took Ralph Barnard's place. I dealt with the law for him. You can break God's law and call yourself a Christian if you want to. And I don't want to have to deal with God's law. There is no pity in God's law. There is no mercy in God's law. just judgment. This world's going to be judged by the LAW law of Almighty God. I don't want to have to face that judgment without a mediator, the man Jesus Christ, as my substitute, hanging on a cross as God's sacrifice for every human being who by faith can be joined and whole in matrimony with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is hell? It's just a picture of the agony that men and women throughout a long eternity, according to the Bible, are going to experience, who face God's eternal, immutable law at the judgment without Jesus Christ as their surety, their sponsor, their substitute, their Lord, their Savior. Oh, Rob Barnett wants Christ to be his son. I can't tell whether there's a single human being living on top side of God's earth who's saved. I can say I believe so-and-so is saved. That's as far as I can go. And I'm somewhat interested in you. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little more interested in myself. Yes, that's sinful, but it's honest. You may think it'll be a Sunday afternoon picnic to have to deal with God's holy law by yourself. I don't think it would. If you could convince me that I've missed Jesus Christ, He doesn't dwell in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, that He is not reproducing His character in me, going to keep on doing it. But one day I shall be just exactly like Him. Brother, I'll start seeking Him. I won't finish this sermon, Brother, because I don't want you to go to hell. But if you're determined to, I guess you'll have to. I don't want to go inside. I don't want to face God's law by myself. I thank God for the statement, there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And I saw Him, and I seek Him every blessed day of my life. And I'll be seeking Him in my dying breath. I'll be examining myself to see whether I have any evidence that I have a saving interest in this yet. I'm not going to join the church and go to hell assuming on it. I want to go to heaven when I die. I really do. What is hell? What is it to spend eternity in God's eternal power of pit, where men experience the terrible severity of God's holy and perfect and just law throughout the unending reaches of eternity? In the book of Luke, at chapter 16, verse 23, the first line, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Hell is a place where people suffer not torment, but torments. I want to speak as briefly, yet as boldly, and I hope as tenderly as I can. I'm yet hoping to see some evidence that God hadn't taken his hand off and written Ichabod on the name of your church door, that the Holy Spirit still can be pleased to come and visit you here and strike men down and make them long to know that Jesus Christ is in them and they're in him. The Bible forbids us to offer Christ to anybody who doesn't want him. We're to keep preaching the first message of the cross, keep witnessing it. When somebody gets interested in whether or not Christ died for them. For the gospel is not God loves you and Christ died for you. The gospel is that Christ died for sinners. But most of you are not sinners. You're nice little people. Haven't killed anybody lately and you'll just have to go on to hell. But if God could whittle you down the way you didn't, weren't so proud of yourself, and you take one good look at yourself in God's mirror and begin to cry, woe is me. Christ died for people like that. And Christ saves people who are sinners. Oh, haven't found a sinner yet since I've been here. But if we find one, we'll have the glorious joy of hearing the newborn babe cry out to God in the womb. I hope in your visiting, God will let you run across a sinner before this meeting closes. If you do, he'll be so glad to see you and to hear what you've got to say. But until you find the sinner, you'll have to preach to nice little in-for-hell folks. Please don't try to get them to decide for Christ. Just keep holding before them the holy, severe, awful law that nailed Christ to a cross and is going to condemn you to hell unless you're able to lay hold of him who's the one mediator between God and man. And I bring you another message tonight, praying in my heart that God will yet discover to somebody that he's a sinner. If you're saved, even God can't save you again. And so I don't expect any of the saved people to get saved. And I don't expect any of these empty seats to get saved. I'm just hoping poorly I'll get to preach the gospel to a sinner. Wouldn't that be wonderful? He'd be so glad to hear it. What are the torments of hell? God sends people to hell, you know that. Fire twist fades. But it's so. Men do not send themselves to hell. God sends men to hell. He's going to CAST cast men into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. At the end of the age, he's going to send his holy angels and take the tares. You see, I don't know whether you're a tare of wheat that looks so much alike until harvest time. Isn't that right? I can't say you're a tare and you're a wheat. God says, you're off. Anybody that tells you he can tell that another person's a Christian, he just lying to you. Until harvest time, even a farmer can't tell tare from wheat. That's right. And he said, leave those tares alone. I'll take care of them. When? At harvest time. And then he's going to separate. Wonder if he'd have to do in separating his congregation. I don't know, but the Holy Spirit knows how many here are tares and how many are wheat. I don't. But if this were the time of the harvest,
when the fruit has come to full fruitage, then you tell by the fruit whether it's a good peach tree or a bad, but you can't do it. God can, but I can't. He's going to send his aid, and they're going to cast people into the fire. God sends people to hell. Now, the God of church people today don't send people to hell, but the God of the Bible does. The two fastest growing doctrines in the world today are first universalism, that God's so good and so sovereign, he's so all powerful, that eventually he's going to save every human being, and that God so loved it that he wouldn't think of sending anybody to hell. But the old book hadn't been changed, and God still sends people to hell. The second thing I'm to say about the character of hell is this. Listen carefully. Hell is the very best that God can do for a man who lives in his world and dies with an unregenerated heart and a rebellious spirit. A lot of people say, I don't think God, he's so good, so merciful. I don't believe he'd damn a soul to hell. Well, if you turn it around, here's one preacher that looks you in the face and tells you, according to the testimony, I think I know what I'm talking about now, of the Word of God. God is too good and God is too loving to take you to heaven unless he can give you a holy nature that hates wickedness and pants after holiness and righteousness. Unless he can do that in this life, he's too good to send you to heaven. For heaven would be 10 million times more terrible to endure for a man who doesn't love holiness than hell would. That's right. Suppose God Almighty would take this generation of Sabbath desecrating, tithe robbing, naked flesh displaying generation of so-called Christians to him. It's a holy place. The holy angels will be there. The Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be there. The thrice holy God inhabiteth the heaven. And wouldn't you be miserable to have to spend eternity in a holy place? I don't know whether there's any literal fire. I guess there is. I think there is, but I wouldn't argue about it. I think it's pretty certain that the least terrible thing about hell will be physical suffering. Sin causes physical pain in this life, and so I suppose that it'll cause physical pain in the life to come. But physical pain's easy to bear. Some nights I've been here, I've been in intense pain. Tonight I don't hurt. But I never know when one of these things will hit my old nervy back. And physical pain isn't half as hard as spiritual pain. Mental pain. I suppose, I know it won't be fire like we know, but there'll be some kind of literal fire to torment the physical bodies of men forever in hell. You may not agree with that. Don't fuss at me. I can't prove it. Some folks say they believe there's literal fire in hell. Some folks say they don't. Both prove it by the Bible. I kind of think the Bible teaches it'll be some kind of what we call fire, everlasting fire. But That won't amount to much. I'll tell you one thing. There'll be about 10 million times more horrible to endure for an unholy person to have to spend eternity in a holy place. It's awful. You ever get around a Christian that just made you ashamed of yourself? I want to get out of that. He gives the impression that he walks so much closer to the Lord than I do. I'm miserable. I kind of like to associate Adventist Baptist. There ain't no holiness around us, you know. Boy, we're proud of the fact we ain't holy. But I've come across some saints of God. They had a glow on their face, the glow of God's presence. The conversation wasn't put on either, brother. They just loved the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever been around like that? Sort of makes you uncomfortable. How'd some of you hell-raising church members like to spend eternity? Everybody but you loves holiness. Wouldn't that be awful? You can put it down. Hell's the best thing God can do for anybody who in this life he cannot begin the work of holiness and righteousness. I want to say two things about hell that will be exactly like the way you're living right now, and then say two things about hell that will be a little different than the way you did today. In the first place, hell will be just a continuation of the way you live today. Just exactly. John Owen, the greatest of the Puritans preachers, who preached to the Queen and Queen King of England, enunciated the principle that thing that starts in this life will continue in the life to come. You know what you'll do in hell? You'll do like you did today. Only there won't be a bit of restraint on you in hell. There was some today. Only there'll not be a single good influence upon you in hell. You did have some good influences around you today. You see, ladies and gentlemen, unless today you were occupied in exactly the same thing that you will do in heaven, unless today, not yesterday, but today, you girls, you boys and girls, you men and women, I beg you to hear this. Unless today you are occupied in the only two things you'll do if you get to heaven, unless that were the two main things you did today, you ain't going to hell. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 3 and 4, the Holy Spirit's kind enough to tell us exactly what God's people will do if they make it to heaven. And the scripture says, his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. That's all God's people do. If that's not all you did today, as the main thing, while you went about your work, earning your bread by the sweat of your brow, or you went to school, I don't care where you went, if the chief thing that occupied you today weren't the service of God and looking at his face, you ain't headed for hell. In 2 Corinthians at chapter 3 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, but we all, with open face, as takes in every child of God, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. What happens to us as we look at him, his wondrous beauty and glory? The chief occupation of every Christian's life is occupied with feasting on the glory of his Savior. God's truth. What happens to us while they're changed into the same image from glory to glory? You see, salvation is the making, listen, salvation is God making men and women who've been ruined by sin. Salvation is God making them like his Son. And Jesus Christ, according to Psalms 45 and 6, God said, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. And unless that's true of you, then you've not been joined to him. And unless he is making you more and more and more and more and more and more from day to day after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've missed Christ. You've missed him. You've missed him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to learn to love holiness down here, or you're never going to make it to heaven. You know that? Unless God Almighty begins in your life here on this earth the transformation of your character, where you hate wickedness and love righteousness. Christ perfectly hated wickedness. Christ perfectly loved righteousness. God's going to make every one of the people he saves exactly like Christ. I do not speak to anybody yet that's plumb saved. Hope you're on the way. You won't be plumb saved till when? When the Lord returns. Or when he returns, what's going to happen? With undimmed eyes, you're going to see. And that look will transform you. And the work will be finished, but it's got to be started. And what the Bible teaches called being born. You better listen to me now. I'm a Baptist, and I know Baptists pretty well. I learned how to play poker from good Christian Baptist boys. I made my way through a Christian college gambling. Never turned the card till I got associated with Baptists. I know the ungodly lives the church members live. And I'm telling you the God's truth. Unless in this life the principle of walking in holiness is established in your life, you're not going to make it to heaven. That's right, John. That's right. That's God's truth. What are folks going to do in hell? Just exactly what you did today. S-I-N, sin. The Bible says the plowing of the wicked is sin. The evil imaginations and thoughts of men in Noah's day were what? Evil continues. And that day is upon us. S-I-N, sin. Every blooming thing you did today, God counted to the sin. And the principle of sin that dominated your life today will dominate it after you get to hell. For in the last chapter of the Bible, we have a picture of the end time when the Lord Jesus Christ preaches a final sermon to the folks who are shut up forever in hell. And I imagine he cups his hands to his mouth and delivers a sermon, and it's a sermon of judgment. Revelation 22 and 11, the Lord Jesus Christ says to the inhabitants of hell, let him that doeth unjustly keep on doing unjustly. In other words, sin on. It's all you did when you lived in my world down on the earth. Keep on. Keep on. Sin on! And in hell there'll be no restraint. In hell there'll be no Holy Spirit. In hell you'll have all your companions. They're raising hell too. How long will hell last? As long as God punishes sin. How long will God punish sin? As long as men commit it. How long will men commit sin? Forever and ever. That's all you'll do in hell. My old mother used to go about her chores, cooked on a cook stove used wood. Never heard of a vacuum cleaner, and those are things raising the kids, or washing machine and nothing else. She had time to serve God. You women got every gadget under hell and got in time to pray. Now here, yeah, she wouldn't consciously. But she'd go about sweeping the floors, huh? And she'd sing, I'm going home, I'm going home, I'm going home to sin no more, to sin no more. Sin no more, I'm going home to sin no more. That's a great prospect. Isn't a Christian listening to me here tonight? There is one that's yet made it where you never sin. But there isn't a Christian living here tonight. Doesn't wish he could live apart from sin. One day, bless God, old Rock Barnard's going home to sin no more. Throughout the reaches of eternity, he'll have the glorious privilege without an old sinful nature. It's going to be gone, brother, of serving the Lord. I've been camping up and down the country a long time. Devil crawls upon my pillow a lot and says, couldn't do better than you, I'd quit. And I agree with him. Oh, bless God. While you hell-raising church members that take the grace of God as an occasion to live dirty, filthy, rebellious lives, While you sinning in hell, I'm going home to sin no more. In hell, you'll have the same mind and body and lust and desire. You'll have desires without any fulfillment. You'll have cravings without being able to satisfy them. You'll have longings, but you'll never attain them. You'll have lust, but you'll never accomplish its effects. In hell, you'll have enforced idleness, dreadful loneliness. There's no hope in hell. What is hope? You didn't have it, you can't live. It's a form of moral responsibility. You say, well, I didn't do well today, but tomorrow I'm going to do better. Man goes broke and he says, well, I'm going to start up again tomorrow and hope for the best. If you ever lose hope in this life, just well die. If there ain't any hope in hell. In hell, there's therefore no hope and thus no duty, nothing to do, no work, nothing to be gained by praying. Hell, in short, is a place where you have nothing to do but amuse yourself. To be utterly separated from God, but in such a way that one is compelled to see him as a thirsty man sees water in which he dare not drink. Hell is a place where we're forced to see the glory of God, have no access to it, where everything's forfeited, where we wait for a quarter of an hour after we land there in the silence of hell, and in the silence is broken, we hear the awful words as hell tells us about itself. I am the door, locked forever, the road which leads nowhere, the everlasting God. There are two things that are the difference about the way you live today. An eternal hell, the way you live in hell. Today, you could hide from your true condition. You can bury your head in the sand like the ostrich and say it ain't gonna rain no more. You can say, I'm all right. I'm as good as the church people, and I don't think God will send me to hell for doing this, that, and the other, and I believe I'm all right. Hope you are. The hell of the day I read about, I heard over the radio, they finally told Pope John he's got a cancer. He's hemorrhaging. He may be dead now, I don't know. He's at the point of death. He ain't going to go out into eternity as Pope John. He's going to go out as a sinner, a member of a race that rebelled against God. I don't know about whether he's saved or not. I hope he is, don't you? I don't see anybody go to hell, do you? I don't know about that. But even though I know nothing about him, he gave his parting benediction, ask God to bless the Catholic Church and call for a world of peace. He said, I want God's will to be done. You may know the Lord. I don't hope he does. But if he don't, he could spend the day. Because he's the Pope one. He's bound to go to heaven when he dies. No. Nobody bound to go to heaven when he dies except people. Been regenerated by God's Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus. But today you can hide from yourself the true condition. In hell, all the savings have already been made. I come to tell you that decision isn't salvation. But decisions are very important. A decision won't save you. But decisions in their proper place are mighty important. You made lots of them today, didn't you? Huh? course you did. Didn't you? You decided to go down that road, not that one, didn't you? You decided to do this, not that, didn't you? You have the power to make choices and the power to make decisions. You have power to give yourself a new heart. You do not have power to save yourself. But you do have the power to decide a lot of things, don't you? But you don't have any decisions to make in hell. All the decisions you'll ever make, whether they be good or bad, you'll make them in this life, not in the life to come. That's a solemn thing. That's a solemn thing. No decisions in hell. All the decisions you'll ever make, choices between this and that, going this direction or going that, that's all done in this life. I made lots of bad decisions, haven't you? I hope I've made some good ones. But in the next life, the tree's already fallen, haven't it? The decisions have already been made, haven't they? So one difference between the way you live today and the way you live tomorrow, if you inhale tomorrow, the day you made decisions. Tomorrow you won't make it. A man today could make a decision. I'm going to set out to become a persistent listener to the Word of God. Accidental attenders on the preaching of the Word of God are sure for hell's off on his preaching. You'll become a prayerful, steady, persistent, not to be discouraged, listener to and hear of the word of the law and gospel, or you'll never be saved. I wish you, my mother and father, believe that. You'd whip your children and fix them so they'd listen, they might get saved. Of course, they made a decision, and you trust in that. But nobody's ever saved apart from hearing the Word of God. And it's God speaking through the Word, not memorizing a verse of Scripture, but it's the Holy Spirit taking the Word and making Christ real to many men. That little 13-year-old boy that used to hear Brother Spurgeon preach. And he'd sit, not copy, and chew gum, and make notes, and wiggle, like they do in services today. But he sat this way and listened, because he hadn't already made a decision. He is sick. He wasn't trusting in a broken system. He was trying to find God. And he stood over, and finally one day, one of the wardens of the church went up before the service started and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Son, why do you sit in such an uncomfortable position?" Little 13-year-old boy said, "My mama says that if I'm ever saved, it'll be when God calls me, and that he calls me through the Word, and that our preacher preaches the Word, and I'm listening." You're going to become a listener too. Until it can be said of you what Paul said of the church at Thessalonica, "Knowing therefore, brethren, your election of God, for our gospel came not to you in word only, but in power, and in the Spirit, and in much assurance." If you ever get saved, you won't be conscious of anybody else, a million miles.
You think God is talking to you?
That's true.
Huh? Isn't that right? You could decide to start listening to the word. Now, I warn you that fundamental people are going to have to do some real digging to ever become listening to the word, because you're on the awful danger line. You think you already know. And so you don't need to listen. But there's lots in the word that we need to hear. Huh? You think I'm preaching heresy? Faith cometh how? By hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Until the Holy Spirit makes the living Christ leap up from these pages and you're confronted with him, you never listen. Today, you could have decided, so help me, from this day on, I'm going to become a seeker of the Lord. I'm going to devote my life, working hours and play hours, and every other hour I'm away, I'm going to make an all-out service for Jesus. You could decide that, couldn't you? Huh? There's so many decisions that you can make in this life. With God's help you, you'll make none in hell. In hell, men don't make decisions. In hell, men endure the horrors God Almighty's holy law. There's no deciding to get out. There's no deciding to do better. The door is locked. The gulf is wide. No mercy, no pity, no nothing. Just judgment. God help you. But God won't help you. He offers help in this life and conscious bliss for eternal torment in the life. Telephone rang in the office of the superintendent of the high school of Panhandle, Texas, years ago. The superintendent answered. At the other end of the line was the president of Hardin-Simmons University in Abilene, Texas. The president said, "Mr. So-and-so, I'm calling about one of your teachers, Ralph Barnett." He said, "News has reached us down here in school that God has been pleased to save him. Is that true?" The superintendent said, "Yes, he says that the Lord has saved him." Then the president said, "I want to ask a favor of you. I want you to give him a week's leave of absence. We'll pay his travel expenses and his salary for the week. If you'll grant him a leave of absence, I want to call him on the telephone and ask him to come and speak twice a day, Monday through Friday, at school." So after a while, I got a telephone call near the end of it. Prexy, we called him Prexy. "But Ralph, this is Prexy. Term of affection. I've just been graduated in May or June. This was about October, the following year, and I was away teaching school." He said, "Ralph, news has come to us that the Lord has saved us." I believe it has. But he said, "Well, I've talked to your superintendent. He granted permission. He wants you to get on the train. Come down and speak in chapel and every night, Monday through Friday." He said, "Ralph, you caused a lot of hell and damage while you were here. Sunday night, I'll tell you about it. I had over
300 precious Baptist students join the infidel church. Our second baseman on the college team, orator for the college, leading debater, leading Shakespeare actor. I was a big shot. My influence was damaged. He said, I want you to come down here and see how much of the hell you raised you can undo. That'll break your heart, brother. It ain't much trouble, John, to lead people to hell. It's much harder to lead them to Christ. And I went, so help me. And I stood there, all I could tell was what I thought God had done for me. Twice a day for a week. You see, a lot of those boys and girls that were members of the Infidel Club were still in school, the senior class. I graduated with them, but there's still a lot of them around. And all of the hell I'd raised. Well, we do not live alone. You won't go to hell by yourself, nor to heaven, isn't that right? And when the last service is over, my buddy, he is vice president of the Infidel Club. He helped me organize it. And then when I graduated, he became president. He is president of the Infidel Club. Still going on after I've gone. He said, Ralph, you got to let me take you to the train. He heard me speak twice ago. He took me to the train, got there early. He said, Ross, you've gone off your rocker. Said, you used to be a brain. Said, I used to think you're smart. Said, you've lost all your sense. This religion business. And he begged me to come back to my senses. And I begged him to bow his rotten heart, knee, to Jesus Christ. And he laughed at me. It was easy to lead him to help me organize an infidel's club. I couldn't lead him to club. We shook hands and said goodbye. I loved him. He's a brilliant guy. In 6 months, he was dead. The man shot him 5 times. And I'm standing here tonight in my bumbling way. Warning you, the hell is a place where men experience the awful severity and horrors of God's holy law. I don't know what part of the place, but I know that there came a time when I decided to seek the Lord. I did. I know now that God was active. And that the reason I sought him is because he's seeking me, but I didn't know it then. And the other boy decided he wouldn't. Decision. Some things you can't do by decision. But some things you can. And decisions made in this life cannot be unmade in the life. You'll go out of this building tonight and you'll make the decision. Would God, somebody go away and say, I'm going to start listening to God's word. Huh? Would God, somebody go away and say, I'm going to seek the Lord. Every time I pass a Christian, I'm going to ask him, won't you pretty please pray for me? I want to get saved. Huh? Maybe some of you make wrong decisions. In
Nothing on earth we can do about that. You're the only one that can make your decision. Isn't that right?